Good afternoon. Welcome to today's meeting. We'd like to acknowledge that we're joining you today from the traditional territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish peoples, and we're grateful for their stewardship of these lands. My name is Nithya Iyer. I'm one of the commissioners and the chair of the Electoral Boundaries Commission. Please allow me to introduce my fellow commissioners, Linda Tynan, who is Commissioner and Local Government Advisor, and Anton Bogman, Commissioner and Chief Electoral Officer of British Columbia. I'd like to tell you a little bit about who we are and what we do in our role as commissioners. The Commission is an independent and nonpartisan body created by the Electoral Boundaries Commission Act. The Act requires commissions like ours to review provincial electoral districts after every second provincial election. Our job is to review the area, boundaries, and names of existing electoral districts and to make recommendations for change. The way we do that is by first asking BC residents for their views on this topic. That's the purpose of today's meeting. After this first round of public consultations, we will publish a preliminary report with our initial recommendations. We hope to do that by the early fall of 2022. We'll then have a second round of public hearings, asking for your input on the proposals for change that we've made. Following that, we'll write our second final report and recommendations. It will also be public, and we are required to publish our final report in April of 2023. Ultimately, it's the BC Legislative Assembly that decides whether to accept all, some, or none of our recommendations. Now, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the factors that we consider in making recommendations. Those factors are set out in our statute. Our guiding principle is representation by population, but that term is defined in the Act. Representation by population includes the idea that there should be about the same number of people in each electoral district. It includes the idea that, in general, each electoral district may have up to 25% more or 25% less than the average number of people in all of BC's existing electoral districts. Presently, the average number of people in each electoral district is about 57,500. Now, the number of people in an electoral district may vary, and we can draw the boundaries of districts to take account of geographic factors, demographic factors, or limits on transportation and means of communication. Geographic factors are defined in the Act to refer to the accessibility, size, and physical configuration of an area. Demographic factors refer to the sparsity, density, or rate of growth of an area, and it also refers to the concept of communities of interest. If the Commission feels it is necessary to provide effective representation, the Act allows us to propose an electoral district that is larger or smaller than the general 25% rule. That is, we can vary, have a district that is more than 25% more or less than 25% than the general notion of within 25% of the electoral district average. Currently, there are 87 electoral districts in BC, and the Act allows us to propose up to 6 new electoral districts. If we did so, the total would come to 93. Now, I believe that those of you who want to make a presentation today have already met Chad at the registration table. But if you change your mind and want to make a presentation that you hadn't planned on doing, you can certainly see him. I would also like you to know that we are audio recording all of our public meetings, and they will be available on our website, which is www.bcebc.ca. If you're making a presentation, your name and community will be listed with the meeting recording. If you'd like more information about privacy terms, please visit our website, which has that information. I have here my little script that we asked you to limit your presentation to 10 minutes. I don't see people pounding down the doors at this point, so don't think that's necessary. However, we do really encourage you to send us a copy of your presentation if you're able to do so through our website, because that helps us in making sure that we have fully comprehended and attended to your proposals or comments. After I've heard from all the presenters, I will close the meeting. So with that, we'll start, and I'd like to call on the first presenter, Sam Sullivan.
Thank you very much. Now, do I keep this on or off? Or?
Unfortunately, we have to keep them on.
Okay, and I guess I hope I'm close enough, or do you want me to? Well, thank you very much for making this possible. What a miracle it is to have a really professional approach to the boundaries. I'm so lucky compared to what happens in our with our friends to the south. This is really a wonderful opportunity, and just I love process and the fact that you are doing your best to be nonpartisan in this. I thought I would give you just some of my insights as MLA in the downtown area. So I was representing Vancouver Falls Creek, and the first I was representing Coal Harbour, the downtown area, and south of Falls Creek. So then they took Coal Harbour out, and I thought that was unfortunate because there is a real connection between the main bulk of the riding is the downtown core, east of Burrard. And so there's two things for me. One is that the date at which the residential was built, because the kind of building typology and the kind of assumptions, cultural assumptions, are really built into that date, you know, what was going on at that time. And then there's the geography. So I've always found the south side of Falls Creek, when the bulk of your population is in the downtown, never gets the same kind of attention. And there is a real difference on the south side as to when it was made. You know, the Falls Creek South was made in the early 1970s and had a completely different approach to development and assumptions about culture. And then you had the downtown, and that was built through the 90s, and the noughts, and it still goes, you know, so we're still looking at growth, so we have to take that into consideration. And then after that was the Olympic Village, and that was interesting because the kind of cultural assumptions and ideas were more related to the 70s than they were to the 90s and noughts. So there was an anti-height element there. So both the Falls Creek South and the Olympic Village took place at a point where the pendulum swung anti-height. And so the downtown Pearl Harbor was very much about, you know, let's get maximize intensity of development, and very much about mixed communities and things. Falls Creek South has very little commercial, you know, it has, and the density is so low that it can't really support that. So I also found issues, just myself, I guess, accessibility, but probably even despite my, or even without a physical disability, I would probably find just the getting to the south side is, there's a psychological barrier as well as a physical one. You know, Falls Creek sort of sticks in the middle of it. And even getting around Falls Creek, there is no development. You know, walking around that area, you really have to go through no man's land to even get there. So there always seemed to be a psychological as well as a physical barrier. So I found it was much easier for representation that Coal Harbor and the downtown had much more in common with each other. The dates that they were built were the same time. The person who actually planned out the larger, name was Richard. Oh, I just know him as Rick. Anyways, he was the one who actually, you know, planned out the whole broader urban pattern. And so it was actually very similar and much easier to relate to and represent. So those are the thoughts that I had. The fact that they are still growing, the fact that they have a connection at the age and the time when they were built, and the social values that were prominent at the time. What else did I have here? Anyways, I think that's basically covered what I need to say. So thank you for giving this opportunity.
Thank you very much. Our next presenter is Sebastian Zink.
It's nice to be in an in-person event again. My name is Sebastian Zink. I'm a lifelong Metro Vancouver resident, currently living on the downtown peninsula in Vancouver West End, just a few blocks away from the boundary with Vancouver Falls Creek. And like many of us who live in the West End, I spend the vast majority of my time on the downtown peninsula, so that area is of particular interest to me as it relates to political representation. And until September, I worked as a market analyst in an urban development consulting firm. So my main interest is urban geography and applying it to various market development economic challenges, so I thought it would be nice to come over here and share my thoughts. So the main lens I apply to most of my public analysis is that of urbanism. So that means I believe urban areas are fundamentally distinct not just from rural areas, but also from the suburban areas, which are often, in my opinion, mistakenly grouped together with urban areas in the realm of political analysis. So it's not just 604 and 250 that we have to consider, but also the urbanized neighborhoods within the city of Vancouver. These, I believe, represent a distinct third way of life as compared to the rest of the province. We have rural, urban, and suburban. And so I submit to you that the residents of urban neighborhoods have clearly distinct and often competing material interests than residents just outside these areas, even in the same city. Further, these distinct interest areas are heavily impacted by public policy, including housing, transportation, law and order, and economic development. So one concrete example, since ditching my car and moving to the urban core in 2014, I can't tell you what the price of gas is. This goes for most of my friends too, who also live in downtown. And however, we all have a favorite bike lane that we can tell you. If that sounds amusing, consider that bike lanes are in fact a punchline to the majority of British Columbians, including those who live just outside the core. But for downtown residents like me, it's a really critical piece of daily infrastructure for going about our lives in a safe and efficient way. Now, the transportation priority for those outside downtown is how fast they can drive their car through it, how easy they can find parking. I'm looking for a safe way to walk or bike around. That's just one example. And of course, provincial policy has a huge role to play in transportation. Or if we take law and order, for example, downtown Vancouver has seen quite the surge in street disorder, stranger attacks, attacks on small businesses. Across the water in Falls Creek South or Kitsilano, life is the same as always. But for downtown residents and businesses, this is quite an important daily consideration as we go about our lives. So I think that deserves distinct representation. So let's look at some boundary questions as it relates to this distinction between the real urban core of BC and more of these outlying areas. So it's clear that Vancouver Falls Creek is the riding for downtown BC. It's BC's largest job concentration by far, and home to some of the only dense urban neighborhoods we have in BC, where you can walk everywhere, not own a car. However, the riding also includes more suburban parts of Vancouver across the water in Kitts Point and Falls Creek South. These are lovely areas, and I used to live in them, but they're fundamentally a bit suburban. They are designed to be residential-only, low-density areas with a lifestyle more akin to a suburb than downtown just across the water. So in the 1970s, Falls Creek South was developed explicitly as the anti-downtown. The intelligentsia of the day had quite the dislike of the rapid urbanization happening in downtown, and so they made sure that Falls Creek didn't attain a similar level of urbanization. As a result, it mainly consists of suburban-style townhouses with some low-density apartments near the bridges. And it supports so little commercial space that there isn't even a grocery store. And it's intentionally disconnected from the rest of the city's street grid. In contrast to downtown, which features an intense concentration of retail, office space, and people have everything at their doorstep. Kitts Point is similar. It's also lovely. It's also a low-density oasis of single-family homes next to downtown. And in the 60s and 50s, residents fought tooth and nail to prevent downtown-style development and amenities from happening in that area. And it worked. The residents there are very happy that they don't live in downtown, and they want to keep it that way. So in terms of population distribution, it's clear to me that Vancouver Falls Creek needs to be reduced in size. It's already at 72,000 residents. That's well above the target 50,000. And that's made even worse by how distinct the riding is. We're diluting the votes of some of the only urban residents in BC. And so if my math is correct, the downtown peninsula only portions of Vancouver Falls Creek contain about 50,000 residents as it stands today. That would provide a logical demarcation point for any size optimization of the riding. And so that population on the peninsula will keep increasing as residential tower development continues. And there's one development, the Plaza of Nations redevelopment, that will add about 3,000 residents alone in one project over the coming two electoral cycles. So it's at the target already, it's gonna keep growing. And a downtown-specific riding, so it would not only improve representation for that distinct community, but create a more fair population balance. With respect to my riding in the West End, I believe the 2021 population represents a bit of an undercount. So the census figure of 57,000 for the West End was collected in May and June 2021. This is when the neighborhood was still in the midst of a temporary population decline due to the COVID-19 pandemic and work from home. You can go look up news articles from the time, but it was very, very noticeable. The rental vacancy rate in the West End spiked at the time. Rents fell for the first time in several decades. And this is how I think the population figure remains static between the two censuses, despite the completion of many large new apartment buildings in the riding. So my estimation today is that the regular population of the West End would be at about 60,000 today. The rental market dip is over. People are surging back in, rents are surging, and there's a strong development pipeline in the West End, which will keep adding new residents here. So if we want to achieve a better population balance between Vancouver West End and Vancouver Falls Creek, as Sam mentioned, you could consider shifting Coal Harbour back into Falls Creek, which was taken out last time and added to the West End. This would lead to a more even vote distribution between the two ridings, and Coal Harbour demographically is a bit more similar to the rest of downtown than it is to the West End. The West End tends to be almost entirely renter, and quite a bit of a lower average income than Coal Harbour. So those are some thoughts about the urban geography of downtown Vancouver as it applies to electoral boundaries. I hope this has been somewhat helpful, and I look forward to following up with the written submission.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, both of these presenters have raised really useful points for us in considering our task or approaching our task. And one of the things I think that we especially appreciate is that you both spoke to very local dynamics in areas that you know. And that's exactly what we need, because there's three of us. We can't possibly know that about all of the 87 electoral districts in BC. Obviously, we need input from the public to help us know what you know. So I thank you very much for coming out and sharing your thoughts with us. And on that note, I'm gonna ask David Grewal, Grewal.
Thank you very much, commissioners. And I do apologize for my attire. My nephew had a soccer practice earlier today, and that's where I'm coming from. My name is David Grewal. I lived in South Vancouver for about 10 years. My parents continue to live along the Main Street corridor in South Vancouver. My grandfather settled in South Vancouver back in the 1950s and 60s. So we have a long history in that community. I'd like to speak specifically to the riding of Vancouver-Fraserview and Vancouver-Langara. The eastern portion of the riding of Vancouver-Langara goes up to Fraser Street. The western boundary of Fraserview is, of course, Fraser Street out to the border of Burnaby, which is Boundary Road. The riding of Vancouver-Fraserview is actually one of the most diverse and perhaps one of the largest ridings in the province as well. It's not only diverse from an ethnic perspective, it's diverse from a cultural, linguistic, and if I may go as far as to say, even a culinary perspective. You can, the smells as you walk through the neighborhoods is very unique, and it's not something you get in many of the neighborhoods throughout the city. But it's also an area of the city which federally and provincially often elects very high-profile candidates. The federal level, they're often ministers, similarly at the provincial level. The riding, I feel, is... Well, the community in South Vancouver is a large portion of South Asians. It's very diverse. But the issue I have in terms of creation of a new riding, the concern I have is surrounding the fact that the boundaries of the two ridings are along Fraser Street. What that's done is it has actually divided the South Asian community. So I would say, you know, a large portion of them live between... just west of Fraser, between Fraser Street and Main Street. It may even go as far as Canby. The other side of it is on the Fraserview side, the eastern side, and a large portion of the population lives between Fraser Street and Knight Street. And what I feel that's done is by having the boundary along Fraser Street is it's really diluted the voice of the South Asian community at the provincial level. They have to lobby an MLA on the Fraserview side as well as on the Langara side. But here's the other difference. As you go further east from Fraser or further west of Fraser, the ridings are very different. The demographics are different. The socioeconomic conditions are very different. On the Langara side, you start to get into the Tony neighborhoods of Granville Street, Oak Street. Similarly, on the Fraserview side, as you get towards the golf course. So you've got a community that's in the center that, for lack of a better word, but is more working class in nature. It's far more diverse than the extreme outer points of either ridings. And I feel that by having a riding that includes that community between Main Street, and I would even say to go as far as Victoria Drive, if there is a new riding created, that it include that community so that they have a stronger voice in the future and have the opportunity to certainly have someone advocate for the issues and their concerns. And I feel that's not being done in a way that I think is doing any justice to a community that has contributed so much to the cultural and to the cultural fabric and economic fabric of the city of Vancouver. So those are my comments.
Thank you very much. Okay. I think what I said in response to the first two speakers absolutely applies to you in terms of giving us information that's really valuable. So I thank you very much for coming out and sharing your views. And if you haven't made a submission on the website, I'd encourage you to do that as well.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes, you're up, Alexander.
On the hot seat straight away.
That's right.
Well, hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for doing this. You told me to start?
Yes.
I don't know what the process is, so I'm sorry. So, my name's Alex, Alex Reed. I live in the community here in Vancouver Hastings. So I heard you were doing this today. Thank you for taking the time to get public consultation. So I just wanted to come along and talk just a little bit about my experience. I understand it's a tough process trying to redraw electoral boundaries, but I live, like I said, here in Vancouver Hastings. I used to live in Vancouver False Creek, so I just wanted to speak from my personal experience on both of those, and then anecdotally on just somewhere else. But obviously, I think it goes without saying that, you know, we want local representation all across British Columbia. But I don't think anyone across the province would want to see 500 people sitting in the legislature in Victoria. So obviously we have to balance the needs across the province. But certainly from the Lower Mainland point of view, I think it's critical that we start to see more representation. I think it's, you know, for me personally as a member of the community, I think here in Vancouver Hastings, it's really great that like our local MLA, that way, has an office just down the street. You know, be able to see when I go to the grocery store that Nikki Sharma's got an office there where I can go in. I can see my local MLA, you know that she's part of the community. But also in False Creek. And it's funny, I didn't know he was going to be sitting right behind me, because I was going to say it was great, obviously, when I lived in False Creek, to see our representative at the time, Sam, actually be part of the community, go to the grocery store, see him in the community, see him walking around with his wife and dog. I think the power of that local representation and knowing that your representative is part of that local community, and you get to know that they understand the pain of what you're going through. Because I wanted to speak a little bit maybe about False Creek in particular. You know, I have a lot of friends who also live in the Olympic Village area. And I know that we have these, what are called oddities sometimes, of strange lines drawn in electoral boundaries, which happens everywhere. But I have friends in Olympic Village who, you know, they never got to see Sam. They never got to see the local representative. They don't understand the challenges that we're going through in an area like False Creek. Sorry, Yaletown, specifically where I used to live. Now, me and my family moved out of that area just because some of the challenges which we're starting to see from crime, from just community challenges which we didn't face 5 years ago within that area. And to know that we had a local representative who lives in the community, understands the challenges that we're going through, was really powerful. But in an area like Olympic Village, it was very different challenges. And you know, people in that community were facing something very different to what we were facing in Yaletown. And I don't feel as if my friends in Olympic Village felt like they understood what we were going through, or vice versa, we understood what they were going through. So I think the power of that local representation is huge. And I think for me, as a family member in the community, it speaks volumes when I get to know my local MLA is not only a a member of the community, but someone I can see when I'm out in the community. And it's a tough job you have, because I know when I look at the map, you know, certainly in the lower mainland area here in Metro Vancouver, there's areas like the LA, that would be Vancouver, Langara, I guess, where we've got two major, almost like downtown cores now, with Marine Gateway and Oak Ridge, which are popping up. And that's the only area within Metro Vancouver that I can see where we've got two almost like downtown cores starting to build up. And how do we make sure they have representation from you know, just one person at the minute? But it would be great to know that there's someone who is representing those communities in a very focused manner. So I think there's, you know, for me, just as a family member in the community, as someone who cares passionately about the community, it's important that I get to see my representative in the local community. Now, of course, you know, I won't speak to the interior. That's very different. It's tough, you know, to have that local, you know, person in your community who represents you, but certainly here in the Lower Mainland, you know, I just wanted to speak to the importance for me of, you know, being able to know who my representative is and just see them in the community, if that makes sense. And I think it's, you know, it means something to build that community. Like here, we're very proud to be in Vancouver Hastings. I'm very proud to have a local representative whose office is just down the road. And I think the more we can do that within the local community, the more impactful it can be. Certainly as we're trying to raise small families and you know, make ends meet, it's important to know that those in Victoria understand who we are on a local level and are part of the community. So that's all I wanted to say. I don't know if that's helpful, if that's what you need or that's what you want, but
oh, that's very helpful. Thank you so much for coming.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you. I shall exit this one.
You must have somebody out there.
Yeah, I think
it's not just twiddling his thumbs.
Well, I think that's it for our presenters this afternoon. Unless anyone wants to add anything further, I'd like to thank you very much for coming to this meeting and reminding you, I did want to remind you that the recording will be up on our website, I think, next week. If you have any more information that occurs to you, because you go home and you think about it and think you'd like to have said something else, please visit our website at www.bcebc.ca. And please also spread that information to others, because I think I indicated earlier, our report is only going to be as good as the input that we get from the public. And this session has been very, very helpful to us. So thank you so much for coming. I'll now close the meeting.